Radio Australia.
Mr. Business Futurist is in our studios. I am, of course, talking about Morris Misselowski. How are you?
I'm very, very good, thank you.
Oh, that's good. And you, of course, come in for our tech segment every second week. Today, you're looking at this thing that I haven't heard talked about a whole lot. I mean, you would have, because you live in this world of the future and of technology. But crowdfunding, what is it?
Crowdfunding, well, it's been around forever, really, in its base format. That is that when we need some money and we've run out of it, either in our business, which is what we'll talk about, or in our personal lives, we look around to see who's got a bit and might be able to lend it to us. So crowdfunding is the modern day equivalent of that, where we look around online. We have a population that's coming up to 7 billion people across the globe. We have access through the internet, so why not see if we can get some money for some ideas that we have?
All right, so you come up with a brilliant idea, you think it can make money, you just need a big cash injection, and you need to get out there, the word out there, and convince people that it's worth spending money on your project, and you promise people they'll get a good return on it.
Absolutely. So it's the same as we might have done with joint ventures or angel investors or whatever, but what we're doing is we're saying, well, not necessarily big money, although it may be, of course, it could be some small money that we need too. So let's have a look at some examples of it. Perhaps that might make it easier. There's a great example I always love to talk about, and these are sites you can go to. All of them have .com after them. The first one is Kiva, K-I-V-A, Kiva.com. It's what's called a microfinancing site. Micro because it's often small loans that you're giving. And it's that proverbial loan where you're giving $50 or $100 to somebody, often in a country where that $50 or $100 is a large amount of money, and it will make a big difference for that community. The example that's always cited on their website is the proverbial $100 for a sewing machine for a lady in India, and with that she can literally change her local environment and become an employer. What you'll do is to gift her or to lend her that $100, and she will repay it over a number of years. The nice thing about Kiva is that it has 90% return. 90% of all money that's lent in this environment is given back to Kiva and often recirculated again for other people to have loans of. And it's used and authorized by all of the big charities around the world. It's been around for quite a while. So this is a really nice site if you want to do something interesting with your donation money, which has so many causes, so many wonderful things we can give it to. But this is just that microfinancing side of it. So that's an example of crowdfunding.
And that's a guarantee, a 90%
return? No, sorry. 90% of all funds are returned, not 90% return on your money. Sorry, I should have said that clearer. Of all of the loans that are given.
That's a good point of clarification.
Thank you. I'm so glad you picked us up on that. Otherwise, we'd all be running out to do it. So what happens is, obviously, for 100%, for all of the loans that have been given out, most of it's repaid back into Kiva and the people that have given it, meaning that the people that they are helping are indeed being helped by it and have the money to refund. And I think that's a good endorsement for what they're doing. But let's have a look at some of the other interesting ones. There is a crowdfunding site called Fashion Stake. Fashion Stake.
Fashion Stake. Does that have anything to do with...
S-T-A-K-E at the end. Fashion
so it's got
stake.
Nothing to do with a piece of cow meat?
No.
Neither does
no,
it have,
nothing,
any, does it have anything to do with...
this is like the
with
quiz
a
for
red
the afternoon.
Cardigan or, you know, what type of shoes you wear?
Now, it could do, because what Fashion Stake lets you do is it lets you either look for money or invest in the fashion industry. These are people that have a new line, maybe a new brand, a new thought, something in that fashion industry, and they're looking for people specifically to fund them for that. For all of these sites we're talking about, they generally run on the basis of you'll look it up if you want to invest, you'll get some sort of a prospectus from the person, and you will make your own thought as to whether you would invest or not, and then decide to lend the money. There are some issues around this, of course, because we're talking on a global scale. We're talking about people lending and receiving across the globe. So jurisdiction, law, legality, all of those things come into play. So you need to be very, very mindful. You obviously need to get good advice as to whether you'd want to do this or not. But they're interesting. They're interesting also, not only from a business viewpoint, but also from an individual viewpoint. You know, if our listeners are looking, have that great idea, and we all do, we all wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, we have this terrific idea.
I never get that.
Don't you?
Maybe I'm just not a born entrepreneur.
let me phone you at 2 o'clock.
That'd be your idea, wouldn't it?
No, we can share. Maybe I'll get you to crowdfund it for me.
Maybe I could. I'll have to come up with an idea on how to do that, but anyway.
We'll have to talk after then.
Yes, we will.
So what it allows you to do then, if you have got that great idea or that business that just needs that little bit more capital and perhaps the banks are a bit difficult and you're finding it difficult elsewhere, this is not an easy road by any means, it's just another road that you might be able to look into.
So you would have a list of examples of where people have not been able to get funding from the banks or from usual means, and they've gone this way and they've found success?
They are. And often they are the small business, they're the single person, they're the great idea that the banks really can't fund for many very practical reasons. But an individual, you and I, perhaps not you and I, but other people, are willing to take a bit of a gamble, because that's what these things are. They are a bit of a gamble.
Does that mean you've got business angels looking up all these crowdfunding sites, looking for opportunities to invest?
Absolutely. And often, or sometimes, some of these sites are actually run by angels as well. So what they're looking for is that next great idea they can fund. And we're talking about people often that are serious about it, that make a living out of funding these. You know, again, all of the big brands, the YouTubes, the eBays, all of those big brands that we've talked about have all had angel funding at some time, venture capital. So this is really for the small person, you know, the small business, to be able to also have access to that. So, again, for our listeners, I think it's an interesting way to be able to think about, if I need some money for my business, certainly go down the traditional road, look for the banks, look for all of the traditional lending. But if that's not possible, or if it's a niche area, and often banks are reticent to lend in niche areas, then this may be another vehicle.
So it doesn't cost anything, does it, to put your idea out there and invite people to have a look at it and consider investing?
So normally these things are free, as you said, free to subscribe to them. What you'll do is put together your prospectus, your ideas of what you want, what you think the project will be, what you think it will return in the way of money and in capital and whatever else it's going to return, and obviously what you're offering to that person. Then as a prospective investor, I would read through that. I'd make my own very, very careful, prudent decision of whether I should or shouldn't invest. Remember that this is, as we said, the legality is not around the loan, but because it's across continents often, because it's across regions, there are those issues you need to concern yourself with. And then make your own decision of whether you want to proceed or not on them.
And talk to a lawyer just before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you should always take advice. I mean, lending money is always one of those issues. You should always take advice. So, but it's interesting from a viewpoint of, we are really opening up the globe now, and the globe is becoming our financial hub, our knowledge hub. In other words, we're not defined anymore by our local region. So if we're in a country perhaps where the funding is a bit tight, or where people are not interested in that kind of a particular fund, which may be true. Some cultures, some societies aren't interested in a fashion fund, for instance. You wouldn't be able to get a lot of money for fashion, or to build an app, or to build something else. But now you're not stuck just in that place. You can look around the world for where you might be able to get money.
Can I ask you, how big is this community of people in crowdsourcing or crowdfunding?
It's hard to know, but we think the statistics are that in the last couple of years, it's been about $1 billion turned over throughout all of these sites. It's difficult to know because there's often no formality. You know, there's no bank, for instance, no central registry that everybody has to register through. So that came out about 3 weeks ago, which is an aggregate, which means they've gone around to all the major sites and asked the question, how much have you put through this site? And they've added that up. And it comes to about 1.1 billion we're looking at. And it's a growing trend now. So there are sites that do fashion, for instance, really interesting one. Oh, we talked about the fashion state. There are sites that do around entertainment. You know, if you've got a band, or if you've got that great next single, or you've got something around that you need funding for, and bands always need money. I mean, as we all do, they're always working on the smell of an oily rag.
Picture of the starving artist.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe
starve a little less. There are sites now specific for that. One of them's called Kickstarter, and that's been around for quite a while too. Kickstarter. And on that, you would put up, of course, what it is that you're willing to offer, what your band does, or what the song is, or whatever the outcome is that you're willing to give. And people will decide that they want to invest. So again, take a percentage of the returns of what might come out. Kickstarter is nice because it sets a minimum. In other words, a minimum of funding. So if it doesn't get, so for instance, if you're interested in $1,000, you would set the funding at $500. And if you couldn't get the first $500, then all of that rest of the money wouldn't be taken.
Mm.
Yeah. So in other words, the initial investors have some security that until there's enough people interested, they're not going to have their funds taken from them.
So you just need to put a couple of safeguards in just for the presence of mind I can't even think of the word, but just for the
financial prudence.
So that people don't worry if they're going to lose the money.
Well, and again, I know we've said this a few times already, but you really do need to be mindful. Again, this is all about finances. It's all about loans. There is no surety. There is no absolute return in it. But I think, well worth looking at if you have either the need to be funded for something, or if you've got a couple of a couple of dollars put aside, and maybe there is something you'd like to do, more entrepreneurial. And let's face it, lots and lots of people have made good money out of it, including very, very large angel investors and venture capitalists. You may be able to find the next big thing out there and put a couple
of
dollars
risk.
In it. Absolutely.
And as is often the case, the larger the risk, the possibility of return is higher, but also the possibility of a loss is a lot higher.
Absolutely. And no certainty, as we keep saying, but well worth having a look at for that. But while we're talking about that online notion, we're also talking about lots of things that we can get done online now. Do you know we can get a lot of our thinking done online now? Which for me is wonderful, because I don't want to do a lot of the thinking anymore. So there are sites we can go to where literally we can give them the beginnings of our thoughts. So I often talk about it with my business clients who are, for instance, doing think tanks. You know, you get to a position where you've talked everything out and you don't really know which way to go or what other sorts of information might be out there. There are a number of sites where you can go to and put basic information in. So you tell them what it is you want them to think about. So it might be a new product. It might be, for instance, be a real estate agent. And he might say, look, I want to do something different in real estate. These are the ideas we have. This is what our area is like, the demographics. Give them as much information as you want and tell them, look, I want you to carry the can now. Come back to me in 24, 48 hours and think about these things. Now, there's one particular site called Ideas Culture that will do a report. What they have are idea agents. And idea agents are around the world. They all have expertise. So when this company gets in what you want to be searched, they go out and they find the best people on the globe to think about that idea.
It's a good idea, but I'm just thinking there will be a number of people who have something brewing as an idea, but will be quite reluctant to put it out there because that idea could just as easily get stolen by somebody else.
It could. And again, you need to be mindful about all of that. A great point. We're talking about IP. We're talking about intellectual property here. And yes, it can get out and it can leak, but we're talking about a world that's different now. It's transparent. It's open. And certainly for a lot of the existing business minds, people of my age, the baby boomers, are going to find that very, very difficult to understand and very difficult to comprehend in the way of, absolutely, I'm used to being very secure about my ideas and keeping them in a box until I can sell them myself. But we're finding increasingly, though, that the newer generations, those titles of X's, Y's, Z's and A's, are not as mindful about keeping it in a box. They'd rather share it and grow it quickly, make sure the ideas are robust and take it to market in a quicker sense. So again, there's a certain portion of the marketplace that are happy putting these ideas out there and getting people to expand on them, and absolutely a certain bunch of people that are more cautious and will not do it. So horses for courses.
Well, yes, seeing as there was also a story not very long ago about how fake Apple stores have turned up in China.
Yes, they found three of them in the end.
Three, some reports were saying two, but I think they have since been closed down because, I mean, the only official Apple stores in China, I think, are in Shanghai and Beijing.
I think so. I couldn't say for sure, but absolutely not where these stores were.
No clue that this was happening. It was just, China is a very big country, but...
And that was a social media story that grew out of as well, because somebody who was walking past took a picture and realised that it wasn't as original as it should have been.
I wonder
and then
what
posted
tipped
on
it
the,
off.
And then posted on their sites merely as a thought. And again, that's where it grew. That was a fascinating story to watch.
Fabulous. So crowdfunding and crowdsourcing, two ideas to think about as you might be thinking of ideas that you need a little bit of help with, either just in terms of some cerebral contributions or some financial contributions. Maurice Misolowski, we thank you very much. You can be found at businessfuturist.com on the web. Thank you.
Radio Australia, on air and online at radioaustralia.net.au.